Strictly Sail and Kayak, located in the Cincinnati, Ohio area, has a lot to offer when it comes to the sailing and kayaking realm. From Hobie catamarans and Catalina yachts to a wide range of kayaks like Hobie, New Canoe, Feel Free, Three Waters, and Old Towns. They also carry products from companies like Yak Attack, Bending Branches, Torquedo, Amped Outdoor Batteries, and the list goes on. So if you're in the market for a new sailboat or kayak, reach out to my friends there for great prices and awesome customer service. Chances are, if you need it, they have it. Or they can order it and have it to you quick, fast, and in a hurry. So these guys have been doing this a long time, so they know their stuff. So give them a call at 513-984-1907 or visit their website at strictlysailinc.com.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Freaky giant.
I don't want to get bit.
Oh, yeah!
Yes!
And I got that on film.
Okay, keep rolling.
I got him.
Keep reeling. Keep reeling.
Welcome back to the Evolving Angler Podcast. This episode is sponsored by Dr. Pepper and Maxi Pads. Okay, no, that was terrible. I won't do that again. I'm sitting down with a man who racked up this weekend. Man, showed up, showed out. That was my kid. He's psycho. A three-year-old will beat you up and take your lunch money and have no mercy on you. Fished three events this weekend.
Yes, sir.
On the same lake. Mr. Ryan Thomas. Brother, how you doing this evening? How you doing?
I'm doing great.
It's really good to have you on. Really good to talk about this weekend. Got a lot to talk about. Curious how you got into kayak fishing and all that. We'll get into the events that you fished this weekend and how it all went down. But I do want to give a couple shout-outs real quick. Strictly Sail and Kayak. If you're in the market for a kayak, be sure to be sure to check out Strictly Sail and Kayak in Cincinnati, Ohio. Great prices, awesome customer service, and a kicktail buttload of inventory. If you look for a kayak, give them a call. Tell them I sent you. New Canoe Kayaks. Obviously, I'm a New Canoe guy, so I got to push New Canoe. Best thing boats in the market. And I apologize if you don't run New Canoe. I don't mean that as a disrespectful thing. But New Canoe, man, versatile, stable, completely customizable, remarkable kayaks. So I do encourage you, if you're in the market for a kayak, demo a New Canoe. I think you'll like them, and demo it from Strictly Sail. Go up, check them out. And once again, tell them I sent you. Tell them you want a New Canoe. Oh, Tacticam. Got to give Tacticam a shout out. I work for Tacticam now. I'm not sponsored by them. Podcast ain't either. But to make a heck of awesome. I was going to say that, and that wouldn't make sense. Like awesome. Outdoor cameras, POV cameras, you want a camera for your gun or your bow. I know it's a fish podcast, but a lot of guys fish hunt too. So make awesome POV cameras, awesome trail cameras. Got any questions about them, shoot me a message. I'll help you out. And want more information on them, I would gladly love to share some information about Tacticam and reveal cameras. I want to give a big shout out to Yak Attack too. And John Hipshire, man, Yak Attack is just awesome. Great company that has done a lot for bluegrass kayak anglers. They sent us a brand new 16x16 black pack to add to the loaded out Frontier 12 that we were giving away at the end of the season. That's right. Bluegrass kayak anglers are giving away a kayak at the end of the season. Every event you fish is an entry into winning this kayak, just like last year. We're going to load this thing out. We're going to have some electronics on it and everything. So be sure to sign up as a member of fishing event. The next Bluegrass Kayak Anglers event, to segue into that, is June 3rd on Yatesville Lake, coming out here to Eastern Kentucky, my old stomping grounds. Great lake to fish, probably the best lake this side of the state. Yatesville's got some bigs. And so be sure to sign up, get signed up. It's going to be a great time. Great time. I think that's it. Ryan, great to have you on the show, man. I'm excited to hear about all this, how it all went down. But I'm going to first start off and find out a little bit about you, man. So fishing? Is it something you've done your entire life, something you kind of maybe did later in life? What got you into it, man?
I grew up fishing, just kind of like all kids do. Then, got into baseball, basketball, and all that stuff. So, and, in my teenage years, I didn't fish a whole lot, but we didn't have high school fishing back in when we were running around in high school. So what got me back into it was when I was in the Army. I got tired of putting money into a old bass tracker. So I went and bought a used new canoe, and I was stationed at Fort Campbell, and I was running up to Bumpus Mills and whatnot and fishing every weekend.
I wish everybody could see me right now, 'cause I'm fist pumping air. New canoe, baby. Appreciate your service, by the way. It's an honor I've never earned. I never served in the military, but definitely appreciate you.
Had a great time. It was a blast.
For real, or are you lying? Because a lot of guys I talk about say they'd never go back.
I was stationed at Fort Campbell. Nashville was 45 minutes away. Kentucky Lake was 45 minutes away. Fort Campbell was a great place. You couldn't ask for a better area. A lot of times.
Nice. Well, that's good then, because usually you talk to guys like, yeah, it's all right. I'd never go back. Like, I'm glad I went, but I'd never go back. 10-4. So was that the kayak you still got? Have you changed something else?
No. I went from the used new canoe, then I bought a Feel Free. Didn't care for it. And then after the Feel Free, I went and bought a Hobie. And that's what I'm sitting in right now.
The blasphemy.
Wow.
I just praised you for having... Just kidding. Dude, Hobie's a great kayak. I'm just giving you a hard time.
Mine might leak a little bit.
Surely not.
But,
Yeah. At the end of the day, everybody can critique everything. They're plastic boats. What to expect? Yeah, some of them are worse than others. Some of them have issues. Every one of them's got, things that happen. But, Hobie's top of the line, man. I ain't going to dog him. I'm a new canoe guy. Hey, honestly, I've told the story before. The difference in me, I would have bought a Hobie years ago. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to fork that kind of money. I had about $5,000. But by the time I bought a Hobie, I wasn't going to be able to put much on it. I went with my buddies had a new canoe anyway, so I bought a new canoe, loved it, knew they were stable, and it allowed me to have some extra change, to buy some stuff. So totally not knocking them. Great kayaks. But it just led me in a route. I was running a new canoe before I was ever a new canoe team member, and just lucked out that way. But dude, you're running the PA-14?
Yeah, with the 360 drive. So
How you like that 360?
It helps a lot in these Hobies. Because you can sit there and hold a spot. So it does. It is worth it. I know a lot of people have trouble with them, but I haven't had any problems with mine. Of course, I don't, I don't beat it to death. Kind of treat it like a baby. So, it's great. I held every spot I needed to on Kentucky Lake on day one, and that win was rough.
Nice. I forgot to mention how you placed in these events. I mentioned you did well. Let's run through this real quick, man. You fished three events. You fished the West Tennessee Bass Yakkers.
Yes.
You fished the Hobie Bass Open Series on Kentucky Lake as well. Mm-hmm. And the Bluegrass Kayak Anglers event.
Correct.
You got first in Bluegrass Kayak Anglers event. Congrats.
Thanks.
You got 19th out of 109 in the Hobie, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And you got second in the West Tennessee Bass Yakkers.
Correct.
Dude. Very, very well done. Very well
done.
It was
a good weekend.
Oh, yeah. And failed to mention, big bass in all three, right?
Yes, sir.
It's a good one, man. I looked at that. 23 quarter inches, right?
Yes. And, I saw some people put up bigger bass throughout the week. That Saturday, they just didn't have them. I saw some 22-inch bass posted on Facebook, but they didn't have them for Saturday. So, blind squirrel gets lucky every once in a while.
Yeah, I had a buddy catch, it was a 21 and 3/4 inch smallmouth that looked like a football.
Yeah.
I think it was one day of practice, Wednesday or whenever it was, they opened it up. I forget. But
I mean, so Kentucky Lake, I mean, the bass are there. You just got to catch them.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, people knock Kentucky Lake. I can't say yay or nay because I don't fish it, but from guys that I know that are hardcore and fish it legitimately multiple times a year, they all say that it is making a huge comeback.
Yeah, I think it is. Now, on top of that, this was actually my first limit in a tournament.
Oh, like ever?
Ever. First limit putting up in a tournament.
Dude.
So, I mean, I was happy to catch 5 fish.
That is awesome. What a way to do it, man. What a way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So how long you been tournament fishing?
This is my second full year doing it. When I was in the Army, I did one here and one there when I was able to. And then last year I drove a semi and would go to a tournament, you know, get out of the truck, pack up my kayak, then drive to a tournament. And then this year is my first year, really. I mean, that's about all I do is go fishing.
Now, did you fish Bluegrass Kayak Anglers last year? Because I remember your name, and I don't know if it's just because we're friends on Facebook. I apologize about that. I should remember that.
Yeah, I joined. I think I did the small lakes event and maybe the river event. Okay. But yeah, I didn't participate that much.
Okay.
Yeah, so definitely the first year for BKA. And then I did KBF a lot last year. And then this year I'm focusing on BKA, Hobie, and Bassmaster.
Nice, nice. For the Bluegrass Kayak Anglers event, you had 87 and a quarter inches total and 5 fish. It's a very good limit. On Hobie, your 2-day total for that event was 152 inches. It's another good solid finish. What was your, you said Tennessee was a 3-fish limit, right?
3-fish limit and around 56.
So I think your top 3 fish I know for the BKA was 23 1/4 inches, 18 and a quarter inches, and 17 and a half. So
yeah, so it would have been those 5.
Whatever that adds up to. Nice, nice. Oh, I want to ADHD. Promise I'm getting back on topic. But I do, while I'm thinking about, want to give my buddy Jeff Stewart a shout out. He gave me a shout out at the Hobie Awards. He took home, was it 9th, I believe? But dude, I fished with the guy, not a whole lot, but I've been acquainted with him for a couple of years, you know, fished with him for a bit, you know, and maybe longer than that, actually. And I always try to encourage him to get into kayak fishing, you know, get into tournament fishing because he's really good. You know, he kicks my tail a lot of times to go out. So I knew he could hold his own. And he fished BKA last year, you know, his first event ever. He won it, you know, and then I think he got second on another one. He caught, you know, several events. He got big bass or something. I mean, he did really good. And he was able to build up enough confidence that he fished his first Hobie, you know, this past weekend on Kentucky Lake. Got 9th place, man. He was just overjoyed. Jeff is such a great guy. Couldn't happen to a better person. I'm really glad that he finished, you know, 9th. And so if anybody's listened to the podcast before, you know, the episode when me and Jeff were talking about, fishing for sturgeon down on, Cumberland River. I forget what episode that is. Just go back and look, but he gets a ticket. It's fine for not having a trout stamp. I just left. I didn't realize you had to have a trout stamp when you're fishing below Wolf Creek Dam. You have to regardless of what you're fishing for. I just left. He, you know, he's there 10, 15 minutes after me and gets a ticket. So I looked out of that one. I gave him the hardest time over that. Well, this past weekend, my buddy Danny had also works for Tacticam. He hollers at me. He's like, "Hey, man, let's go fish." I was like, "Man, I ain't fished since Cumberland event on BKA." I was like, "All right, let's go fish." Or BK event on Cumberland. I said, "All right, fine. You know, I'd love to go." So we went and fished. I get there and I pull up and I realize, like, man, my registration's dead. Pipe for Paul. Nobody's going to see us. You know, we'll be all right. He's like, dude, I'm a magnet for it. And he told me, he's like, I go, game warden show up. I don't know what it is. I'm like, never been checked down here. It'll be all right. I was like, I'm already here. If I'd seen it at the house, I wouldn't have went. I was like, all right, we'll be all right. We don't get 100 yards up the pond. Here comes the game warden. He's super nice. And I'm super nice back to him. He's like, you know, I got a job to do. And I was like, yeah, I get it, buddy. So I get fine. So Jeff's giving me a hard time about that now. $200 fine.
That's karma.
Oh, $200 fine. Yeah, that's all I get for making fun of it. If I can't get that taken care of, I guess I'll just have to, I don't know, pull some overtime. I don't know. Anyway. All right. So, been kayak fishing a couple years, right? You said?
Yes, sir.
You're in a Hobie PA-14. It's your first event with a limit. Man, let's talk about it. So the West Tennessee Bass Yakkers event, was that just a one-day Saturday event, right?
Yeah, yes, sir. Okay. That was one.
So you're fishing three events basically on Saturday. One correct. One on Sunday.
One on Sunday.
So what's a walkthrough, man? Did you tourney prep at all? Did you get to pre-fish? Did you map study? You know,
I've been to Kentucky Lake once or twice over the last couple of years. I had an idea what I wanted to do. I knew I was going to stay close to the main lake. I got there Monday, pre-fished Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Tuesday was cloudy and windy. Wednesday, Thursday were beautiful days. And I caught fish Tuesday, couldn't catch anything Wednesday or Thursday. So I didn't fish Friday. I always try to relax on Friday. And I was doing a rain dance. I mean, I wanted to be nasty, windy, cloudy. I mean, I figured the only way I'm catching five fish is if the weather is bad. And I got what I wanted. So, went out Saturday morning. It was foggy. Wind was blowing pretty good. It was raining. So I put in at the 68 bridge, no big secret. And I stayed and fished the 68 bridge until safe light. Cause I wasn't going to run up, pedal up the lake, with all those, all the boat traffic, the waves are pretty bad. So I stayed there and fished the 68 bridge. And that's why I caught my two smallmouth. And if anybody fishes the 68 bridge, it's a community hole. There were bass boats in and out of there that first hour. It was a little chaotic.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I bet I had three bass boats come within 50 feet of me, fishing that little community hole. So it's a little rough, but I put two in the boat. So it was a good start. I mean, I had a good first hour.
Yeah. Did you throw a jig at him? Because I would.
No, I threw a purple tube pretty much all day long.
I'm in at the bass boats.
No, I was a little nicer than that. It is what it is. I can't complain for somebody else wanting to catch fish also.
Good way of looking at it.
Yeah, I was fishing a little deeper also. So, They all want to get nice and shallow, and I was off the bank a little bit fishing, 8 to 15, and then they all kind of went in shallow. So it was nice catching two fish in front of a couple boats.
Yeah, for sure. Steve has joined us. Thank you, Steve, for hanging out with us. I know you had to work late today, and thank you so much, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I figured, I'd just be fashionably late. No, I'm just kidding. I had to work over the night, but good to be on. Yeah, how's everybody doing?
Doing good. Doing good.
Can't complain.
Sitting there chatting up Ryan about his three tournaments he fished this weekend. Ryan.
He's busy.
Oh, dude, he racked up too. He got first place in the BKA, second place in West Tennessee Bass Yakkers, and 19th in the Hobie out of 109 guys. So, man, he did really, really well. Yeah. And so you said you got on a couple bass early, huh?
Yeah, a couple smallmouth early.
So day one, obviously, get on a few bass early. How long did it take to get a limit?
I probably got my limit about noon.
I bet you were pumped, right?
Well, at least a good limit by noon.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was pumped because once I got that fifth fish in the boat, that was my first limit for any tournament. And I mean, that right there just made everything worth it.
Yeah. Now, had you caught the big bass yet?
Yes, that was. So after I caught those two smallmouth, I went about an hour pedal for me because I don't pedal very fast. So it took me about an hour to get to where I wanted to go. And it was either my fourth or fifth fish in the boat. I think once I had five fish, it was 22 15s, a 14, and a 13. So after my first five fish, I mean, I was looking decent on the day.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, yeah, I bet a lot of emotions there when you finally catch a limit. You know, I've been there, especially it being your first time catching a limit. Man, I get excited even now. You know, there's a lot of events. Can't count the events I fished where a limit made the difference between a check or not. You know, sometimes conditions are just crazy, and you think other guys might be catching them, but they're not either. And, a lot of emotions there when you finally get that fifth fish on the board and you're able to just take that sigh of relief, relax, and just work on culling after, you know, at that point. Limit is a battle in itself. It's the main battle. You get a limit, you can relax. And you said you threw a purple tube all day?
Purple tube the whole day.
You developed that good pattern there and you just stuck with it, I guess, right?
Yeah. I mean, in practice, bass came out of the, you know, out of from under logs and out of brush to chase a purple tube. So, I mean, they're going after it. I'm not going to force them to eat something else.
Yeah. Dude, that's such a good bait. You know, I like smoked purple copper. That purplish color, man, just especially in a tube is pretty fantastic. And, I've had guys tell me I'm crazy. They don't like tubes. They don't throw tubes, never catch anything on tubes. Tubes are my favorite thing to throw, man. It mimics all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. I feel like not a lot of people throw tubes. That's one reason I throw a tube because, you know, they see everything else. I'm sure they've seen a Cinco 1,000 times a day.
Yeah. And it's so true. So where I'm from, you know, we did a lot of river fishing. And, man, the tube was it. You know, Guyandotte River, Tug River, Greenbrier, New River. I mean, I know all kinds. Me and my buddies, man, we were smallmouth guys. You know, we threw tubes and Cincos, and, you know, they worked. But I don't know a lot of guys. When I moved out to Central Kentucky and I talk about fishing the tube, I'm not saying everybody, but there's a lot of guys I talked to, man, they just didn't throw a tube.
And yeah.
I think you're right. I don't think these fish see a lot of tubes compared to a lot of other baits.
I would tend to agree.
So let's talk about. So, excuse me, I'm about to die again. So day one, you finish up, you go to the awards, you know, you win the BKA event. But was you feeling confident? Was you thinking that you had what it took to win? You know, was you thinking that maybe somebody was going to pump up some fish air at the end and, you know, sandbagging a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I figured the 20 inch was going to, you know, hold for big bass for the day, you know, because I kind of kept an eye on the leaderboard. But I kind of thought somebody was going to wait to the very last minute, sandbag, and throw a good limit in there. But once that 3 o'clock came by, I mean, I was happy. I was surprised I didn't get a speeding ticket going to the awards.
Yeah, because there was only like an inch and a quarter separated you from Logan. You got second.
It wasn't much.
Yeah. And I apologize, ADHD. We'll back up a little bit. So you're throwing this tube. I want to ask you, you know, was there a certain pattern or a certain area that you were that you'd figured out maybe these fish are in this certain area or this, you know, this kind of point or this kind of structure?
Yeah. So I focused on I had a main lake point, and then right off that point, there was a, the first cove inside the North Bay. So I went and hit that point, and I mean, I caught a fish on it, at least one fish, you know, every time I went there. So I went and caught like a 14 incher on it. Then I moved into the cove. I let the wind basically blew me around the cove. And when I was in the cove, I was fishing shallow, 5 foot, throwing to the bank and bringing it out. I found a spot. I'm like, there's gotta be a bass in there. Power pull down, throw up in there, bring out another little 13 or 14 inch bass. I'm like, well, I got a philosophy. If there's one bass, there's two bass. So I throw back up in there, and I got a video, but I throw back up in there and kind of set the hook because I figured I hit a log, and then the log starts moving. I'm like, that's a bass. I'm like, all right, I got a good one. And then so I pull out the 20 inch bass, and I was happy.
And you got that on video?
Yeah, I got that on video.
Nice. Have you posted that? Because I want to watch it.
Yeah, I shared it on the Bluegrass Kayak Angler site, Facebook site. So okay. You guys can go check it out there. Definitely. It's also on the West Tennessee Bass Yakker site.
10-4. Steve, you ever fish Kentucky Lake?
You know, actually, we were down there last year doing a little bit of fishing. We weren't chasing after bass, although I heard that it's fantastic bass lake. We were actually down there for chain pickerel.
Okay. 10-4.
And, yep, we caught chain pickerel and bowfin out of Kentucky Lake. Nice. So it's actually got a lot of different species there.
10-4.
I'd love to get down there though and do some bass fishing. It's just such a drive from where we are out in eastern Kentucky.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's like 6 hours for me. I was going to fish that event, but man, I can't drive 6.5 hours. Drive there, fish all day, drive straight back. I would have been able to sleep. I didn't have time to sleep. I had stuff to do Sunday. I was like, I can't do it. So I'm gonna go ahead and, man, we're gonna talk about this Hobie event. I got to. So day one, you had 87.25 inches, I think it was, something like that. What was I said? 87.25 inches for the BKA.
All right.
You take home big bass, you know, you win the BKA event. Definitely cash some checks there. The West Tennessee Bass Yakkers, you got second place, undoubtedly cash a check there. So what was your momentum going into day two of the Hobie? Where was you sitting after day one? I forget.
I was sitting in third.
Oh, all right. Nice.
Yeah. So, I was behind Francis Tran and, Orr.
Okay. Yeah.
I think the father, okay. I think it was the father that had second place on day one. Not positive, but
I think he's the one won it, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's the one that won it.
No.
Yeah, I was pretty hyped, but I knew day two was going to be rough.
So, same scenario. Did you go to the same place, throwing the same stuff?
Went to the same area. I knew I could catch a limit. I looked at the weather. You know, that weatherman said there's supposed to be more wind, but it was dead. The wind did not pick up till 9 o'clock. And I talked to a few guys, and I mean, it seems like when that wind started blowing is when they started catching fish. So I had by 9 o'clock, I had two bass in the boat. That wind picked up. I had some stake beds on the, up in that cove, and I went and sat behind downwind of the stake beds and just threw that tube. And that's how I got my limit. It was a small limit, but it was a limit.
No. Now, if you don't mind sharing, how do you fish a tube? If you, like I said, if you don't mind sharing at all, Like, talk about that a little bit.
Throw it out there. Drag it back. No. No, really. So this is my second tournament throwing it to. So sometimes I'll drag it just nice and slow, like I would a shaky head, you know, and count rocks. You know, this event, I kind of popped it a couple of times and then just paused and then pop, pop, pause. And then when that wasn't working, I'd sit there and I'd just a big kind of a, let it hit the bottom and bring it up a couple of feet and let it float back down. So those are about the three main ways I've been, working the tube. And that's all outside and around brush. Now, if I'm throwing in the brush, I just throw in there and work it out as best I can.
And a tube, depending on how you rig it, has such a unique fall, you know.
It does.
And I think that it, obviously, like I said, it mimics a lot of different things. It can mimic a crawdad, you know, fishing it on the bottom and counting rocks with it like that and popping it. Mm-hmm. And you also mimic a shad, you know, especially that fall, man. It just, it's almost like a spiral motion sometimes. I mean, it just kind of just a weird fall that really
nothing kind of a dead shad.
Yeah, nothing really falls like it. And so, yeah, I mean, definitely a great bait to throw. If you guys ain't throwing tubes, I'll definitely try it. Like I said, dude, we fish them a lot in rivers here, man. It works great. But day two, how long did it take you to get a limit?
Oh, it took all day. I'm gonna be honest, it took all day. I got my last gust of wind maybe 12, 1 o'clock. And that's when I put my last fish in the boat. I missed a few, but they were all small anyway. It was a tough day. I couldn't find the big bass, you know, so I was kind of hoping to put that limit in there and hopefully it would just hold up and keep me up the leaderboards enough. But I think I was 3/4 of an inch from cashing a check.
How many spots did I pay out?
16. And I believe I was 19.
Great Scott, man.
Yeah, 3/4 out.
Pitiful.
If I only had another inch.
How many times I've heard that? Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, well, 19th place in the Hobie, first place in Bluegrass Kayak Anglers event, second place in the West Tennessee Bass Yakkers, and Big Bass all three, Ryan Thomas. Man, what a weekend, and congratulations on an absolute fire finish in all three.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Here in a second, we're going to do a little spill. I want you to participate by all means, Ryan. We're going to do a little spill where Steve's going to spit out some facts, and we got to try to name that fish species. But before that, real quick, to finish up with how well you did and all that, is there anybody you want to thank pertaining to just how you got into fishing, any sponsors, anything like that, anybody that contributed to this along the way?
Well, I don't have any sponsors yet, so I'll get there. Friends and family, you know, I'm in one of those families where if you don't get picked on, something's wrong. So I've been getting picked on for not catching fish. So it was good to come back and show them I can catch fish. and then, you know, the community, you know, this kayaking community that has evolved over the last few years is great. So if you're one of those guys sitting at home and don't have anybody to go fishing with, and you want to do one of these tournaments, just show up and start talking to people. 99% of the guys will, I mean, they'll chat your ear off. I don't think I've come across one person that's been, let's say, rude. Because if I came across one of those guys, I probably wouldn't be doing this. You know, if it wasn't a good community, I probably would have quit, but it's been a great community. So, yeah, if you're sitting at home and, you know, that's what's stopping you from going, just show up. We'll start talking to you.
For sure.
We don't bite.
For sure. You got bad apples and everything, but man, 99% of the kayak world, maybe 98, You know, I'll give you, 2% for scumbags, but you know, 98%, you know, it's a good community.
I mean, they may not tell you the spot they're fishing, but a lot of them will tell you exactly what they're throwing too. I mean,
yep.
So
I had a guy in a tournament tell me one time, he's sitting there picking them off, and I hadn't caught a limit. I hadn't caught one fish. And the guy's sitting off his point, probably 200 yards. And I'm going between him and the bank, trimming, you know, my kite. And he hollers at me, says, "You caught anything?" I was like, "Nope." He said, "Right here, bub. Come over here beside me. We'll catch the limit." And he said, "I'm picking them off." Of course, I didn't. But I was like, man, so tempted. So tempted to pour out up beside and start casting. But he was cool with it, but I just couldn't do it. I ended up catching a limit anyway. But, yeah, it's one of those tough days. But, Ryan, thanks, man, for sharing all that info with us. And congratulations again, man, on a killer weekend. Let's dive into this thing, Steve. So what you got for us? Name that species. Steve Zupa does this. We're going to try to do this every episode that we can. Of course, Steve, you know, may not be able to make every episode. I may not be able to make every episode, but we're going to try to do something like this every time we can and just give a little fun thing for guys to participate in who are listening in. So name that species. And I want to encourage you guys to message us on Facebook, The Evolving Angler on Instagram, Steve Zupa. What's your social media stuff, Steve?
You can look me up on Facebook under Steve Zupa. That's Z-U-P-P-A. Or you can look us up on TikTok, on YouTube, Instagram under Kentucky Cave Dad.
Write us and let us know. Message us, let us know how you did participate in this. And give us some ideas, because we like ideas to help us out with this. So.
And I'm always looking for new fish facts too. So
there you go.
If you know something interesting and cool, feel free to shoot me a message. But here we go. This is what we do with Name That Species. I'm going to give you a little bit of information about the fish, and you basically just try to guess which species I'm talking about. So I started this one off.
Before you get started, I want to do something. If I guess this one without you even giving any facts yet, you have to give me every fishing pole you have. Ready?
I don't know about that, man.
First one. I'm going to guess. Peacock bass.
No, thank goodness. I was sweating it there a little bit, you know.
Go ahead. Sorry.
All right. The first one is actually it's kind of an easy one, but I want to see if you know the listeners out there can guess which one I'm talking about, and surely you guys will get it. All right. So let's talk about Dale Hollow Lake. The all-time world record all tackle comes from this lake. At 11 pounds, 15 ounces, caught by David Hayes. What fish species am I talking about?
Milwaukee minnow. I'm just kidding. It's a smallmouth.
You got it. It's a smallmouth bass.
So much controversy now, with that fish.
There sure is. But, you know, Dale Hollow's right on the Kentucky line between Kentucky and Tennessee. So a little hometown pride, I guess you'd say. We're going to claim that record.
Yeah. Do you think that guy had weights and fish like those guys up in Lake Erie?
I sure hope not.
Gosh, man, it's so hard. I don't know if they'll ever be broken.
You know, I used to think the same thing about bass, and then or largemouth. Have you ever seen those largemouth that they stock in Japan? I don't know what they got going on over there, but since largemouth have been introduced over there, if you like look up Japanese sport fishing, man, they're catching some absolute hogs out there.
Like, it's all that. Go ahead.
if conditions are just right, I mean, fish aren't necessarily limited in growth. And I think that's one of the things that people don't understand. Like, I'm not saying that a fish can get infinitely big, but I'm saying that they have kind of a perpetual growth throughout their life. Their growth slows down, but it doesn't ever cease. So if you give optimal oxygen levels, optimal food and nutrition, optimal water temperature for digesting, you can grow real giants. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's back to the, I forget what it's called. They call it something. When a new dam is put in, you know, all the trees and brush and stuff, like when they build a dam and they flood an area to make a lake or a reservoir, within the first 10 years of that life, they say that a state record potential fish could come out of there because of all the oxygenation in the water from all the fresh, alive plants, you know, just all the oxygenation it puts out. But I would say that the Japanese bass are so big because all the nuclear crap oozing into the waters over there.
You think so?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. Who knows? That's my guess. All right, it's a smallmouth. Gotcha. Did you get that one, Ryan?
Yeah, I had an idea.
10-4. I still think guy had weights in fish. Can't prove it, but I'd say he threw a pair of pliers down in that thing. Couple pair.
You know, actually there's some controversy about the old records on muskie too. It was people back in the day had a tendency, if you caught a big muskie, you would just leave it on a stringer and tow it behind the boat. Well, in that process, it kind of fills up with water, like a big sock. Yep. And so by the time you made it back to the ramp, your fish was really big. And I know that there's a lot of controversy about those old records up north, especially, too.
Yeah.
So who knows? But, hey, like I said, right on the Kentucky line, we'll take it. We'll claim that record.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, Kentucky has it on a license plate, so it's got to be true.
There you go. But, there you go. The old Vols.
I believe anything I see on the license plate.
Tennessee Vols. Well, Tennessee trying to take our glory. All right. So what's the second one? What you got?
Keep them with the smallmouth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the Great Lakes, historic crawfish, or crayfish, as they call them up north, have been the primary forage food for smallmouth in Lake Erie. There is actually an introduced invasive species from the Black and Caspian Seas of Central Asia that have been multiplying in Lake Erie and in some places have become the primary forage food for smallmouth bass. Name the invasive species I'm talking about.
I remember this. Hang on. So I read something on this not long ago. Oh man, give me a second. I'm Googling. No, I'm not.
No, you don't get to Google it.
I do remember reading something on this. Oh gosh. Do you know, Ryan?
Not a clue.
I don't know. It's not a goby, is it?
It is a goby. It is the round goby. So
okay.
They can get like 10, 12, 14 inches. And when they're first discovered, people were really concerned because they have highly aggressive feeding habits and they thought they were going to outcompete native fish.
Gotcha.
But as it turns out, they're a really good smallmouth bass food in that area. Walleye are eating them too. And, so if you're ever up in Lake Erie, you're fishing, especially around the islands, you're not getting any hits, maybe try using a goby mimic.
Nice. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
All right. So we all know muskie and pike. They are the larger members of the Essex family. What is the smallest member of the Essex family? I'll give you a hint. They max out at 10 to 12 inches.
Oh, then never mind.
It's got to be, All right, so I'm thinking of the Sox family here. Wait a minute, you said this on an episode, I think.
I do talk about the group.
Chain picker.
You're very close. So the chain picker would be the smallest game version in the family, but they're actually even smaller members of the family that don't even get as big as chain pickerel, which you'd find more likely with the guys doing micro fishing, or heck, you see them in a lot of aquariums even.
Would that be the log perch?
It would be the grass pickerel. So there's grass pickerel, redfin pickerel, chain pickerel. Those are all the small guys. And then, you know, there's, of course, pike and muskie. Muskie being the largest.
Gotcha. It's close.
All right. What do you think the fastest fish in the world is? And how fast can do you think it can swim?
Now, in the world, so it's saltwater and freshwater, right?
Yes, sir.
How fast do I think it swim? I think. All right, so there's two species I'm thinking of. Dolphin, swordfish. And I know it's probably not either one of those, but I'm going to guess 65 miles an hour. What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, sounds good. I mean, you guys are over my head, to be honest with you.
All right. Well, it's actually the Indo-Pacific sailfish.
Wait, say it again.
And
now.
They have been clocked going there.
Say it again now.
The Indo-Pacific sailfish.
That's close. Swordfish.
You were close. You were close with the swordfish. It's the same kind of group out there. But the Indo-Pacific sailfish has been recorded at speeds up to 68 miles per hour.
Woo! That was close.
Yeah, you about nailed it on the speed.
Man.
All right, one more. What is the highest jumping fish in the world? This species has been recorded.
I want to bask in my glory for a minute. That was close. Like, I didn't really get on that one.
You did. You were only 3 miles an hour off.
I mean,
that's really close.
I want to take time to just talk about how good I am at this. You know,
let's everybody take a moment of silence to appreciate Nick's very close guess on that.
All right, go ahead.
All right, what's the highest jumping fish in the world? This species has been recorded jumping more than 20 feet vertically out of the water.
Every smallmouth I catch on Del Hollow, they like to jump over my kayak. Highest jumping fish. Is it one of those carp or whatever you see in these videos where the people are driving a boat down a river or something? They're just jumping everywhere.
It's not the Asian carp. Asian carp actually are very impressive jumpers. In fact, carp are such impressive jumpers that in Asian culture, they're highly regarded as a symbol of like courage, and the jumping over barriers is kind of like a metaphor for jumping, you know, reaching new levels of social status. So carp are revered in their home countries for that.
Okay, but so
this fish that I'm speaking of,
saltwater or freshwater?
Saltwater.
Okay, so it's either going to be A, blue whale, B, killer whale, or C, dolphin.
I hate to break it to you, but A, B, and C are all mammals.
I was thinking that.
Wait a minute. I got to edit that out. That's all I can do. Hold on.
Those are fish.
It's either A, white-tailed deer. I'm just kidding. All right. So would it be – I'm screwed up now. I'm thinking mammal. Swordfish. B, Jumping Spider. C. Akeem Olajuwon.
C may be a rough translation.
What you got?
All right. It's actually the mackerel shark.
Never even heard of that.
It's a shark that chases around schools of mackerel and can jump absurdly high out of the water. So up to and over 20 feet in height over the water surface. Can you imagine being out fishing in your kayak and there's a school of mackerel sharks jumping 20 feet up in the air, smashing down right next to you?
That's impressive. That's impressive.
I'll stick with Kentucky Lake.
Yeah.
No sharks, no alligators.
So, yeah, two videos. First one, did y'all see the video a long time ago? The guy, a kayak, that a whale come up just to, I guess, grab a bunch of whatever bait fish. And the guy in his kayak kind of went down its mouth for a second and got spit out. Did y'all see that?
No, I didn't see that. I'm going to have to look that up.
Look up kayaker, probably in the mouth of a whale or eaten by a whale. He wasn't eaten by it, but yeah, it was crazy. And then the shark that we talked about, you know, that had bit the side of the guy's kayak there. That'd been wild. I'd have pooped a little bit.
Yep. New britches right there.
Yep. Yep. Old dad would have been going to the bank and I would have never got, I don't know that I'll ever get my kayak out on the ocean. There's just too much stuff out there big enough to look at my kayak and say, food, you know. But anywho, Steve, thanks so much, man, for tuning in, hanging out with us and providing that for us. I know you, like I said, you had a busy day. And Ryan, thank you so much, man, for being on the show, talking about your win and your excellent finishes. And dude, I wish you luck. What's your next event, dude?
Saturday, I'm fishing a USA Bassin team trial, or a team event, me and my dad. And then I'll be at Yatesville Lake June 3rd.
Heck yeah.
I'm going to try to fish the BKA, maybe try to hit up that angle of the year spot. Other than that, I'll hit the Bassmaster up in Wisconsin. I got a buddy up there. I need to go beat him on his home lake. Only reason I'm going. And everything else I'm playing by ear. I know Tennessee Bass is on Douglas here June 10th. So I'll be hitting that up because I'm on Douglas quite a bit. I don't know. We'll just see what pops up.
No. Steve, what you got playing? Any fish trips ahead of time? Or coming up?
You know, here in the next week or so, I'm going to be headed back out and do a little bow fishing for paddlefish again. This time, get it all video recorded. And we're actually probably very shortly going on a trip to do some video work on some hellbenders. I don't know if you're familiar with what those are, but they are the largest salamander in the United States. These salamanders can get up to like 2 feet long. They're almost exclusively aquatic. They breathe through their skin. They have a lot of folds of skin. And as the water current goes between the folds, they collect oxygen that way.
Sound like Mike's girlfriend.
we got that coming up here in the next couple weeks. And, you know, all of our typical summertime hobbies, but of course you'll see us out at all the local lakes and rivers. If I'm off work, I'm outside. That's just the way it is.
Are we still booked for that striper fishing?
Yes, sir.
Sweet. Excited about that. Guys, Ryan, thanks so much for coming on the show. We enjoyed chatting with you. Brother, congrats again.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, good luck on your next few events, man. And
All right, hopefully I'll be back after Yatesville.
Heck yeah, man. Fight for that AOI spot. Show Nick McGuire who's boss.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir. Hey, have a wonderful evening, man.
You too. Later, guys.
And for those of you listening, love your neighbor. Go catch some fish.